No, it shouldn't. All right, here we go, everybody. this is good to be back in studio, right? We haven't been here in a minute. It's a very comforting thing. It's been darn near a month since we were here. But let's thank you everybody for listening. It's another episode of the Mind Body Marathon. I'm your host, Dr. Leo Kormanik, and on the show today we have, who are you again?
Dr. Jared Bugay.
Bugay.
Yeah.
Bugage. This will be a fun episode. We have a lot of content that we a lot of topics that we always want to bring out and a lot of different content. And for this one, we were like, you know, I think it'd be fun if we did something a little different. We kind of like went a little incognito and we thought of this last night. We're like, yeah, let's just do like a top five supplement, you know, episode where we each give our top five in terms of what we think is the most effective strategy for people. This concept was sort of born out of, we're both chiropractors and we see people on a regular basis for all different injuries and all different walks of life from, you know, children to elderly, but mainly active population. And pretty much everybody that sort of dabbles with the health industry, whether they go through functional medicine or whether they kind of follow some different people online, there's always, you know, so many different opinions about supplements and which ones are most effective and which ones you should be taking and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, you know, I think it can get a little bit overwhelming. And if any of you know somebody that has gone through like a functional med provider, they will often end up on like 20 plus supplements. And that is a really frustrating thing. So this episode is sort of geared towards anybody that just, you know, wants to, you know, how should they spend their money? Like, what's the most effective strategies for supplementation? And obviously, as you're going to see, we have not talked to each other about what our top five are.
Yeah.
And so you're going to even see differences of opinion, I'm sure, on this episode, which shows you how difficult it is to sort of figure this stuff out. But I would encourage everybody to sort of take the trial and error method where, you know, take some things, try them out, you know, take some good quality products. And whether it's, you know, vitamin D or C or whatever we talk about, or B vitamins or magnesium or whatever, and, you know, see how you feel. And if you feel better, obviously keep that in the repertoire. If you don't feel any change, then obviously take it out. So we'll kind of start from there. Jared, I'm going to have you go first this one. So I think maybe you should start at five and then work your way down.
Okay.
And give me like a little synopsis as to why you think, you know, they should be on the list.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So starting off at number five, I'm actually going to go with N-acetylcysteine. So NAC, precursor to glutathione. So you could also kind of make the, you know, the argument that I'm also saying glutathione as well. N-acetylcysteine.
Why the precursor versus the actual glutathione?
So, you know, in functional medicine, we talk about, you know, like heavy metal toxicities, and, you know, for mercury, especially for those who eat, you know, like high diets and like tuna, mercury is ever present in tuna. It's a higher quantity relative to some of the other food sources. And so N-acetylcysteine is good to...
And mercury is bad for us, correct?
Oh, yes. Mercury is not good for us. It accumulates in our, I think, nerve cells, I believe, especially in the central nervous system. So hoping to kind of detoxify that. And, you know, it also helps regulate the dopamine pathway in the brain, too. So for individuals with, like, hyperactive disorders, you know, even like tendencies where you're, you know, not able to stay focused, N-acetylcysteine actually helps with that. I've experimented with it, and it actually has a fair bit amount of research behind it too.
It's pretty heavily researched.
Yeah.
I feel like it was pretty popular about 10 years ago.
Okay.
You know, these supplements, this is the other thing. These supplements go through ebbs and flows, you know, like you have different influencers So, you know, health influencers talking about them, and, you know, you get some famous person running a TikTok on a supplement, and everybody wants to take that one. Like, it's amazing. Like, I feel like magnesium is the big thing now.
For sure.
You know, everybody's all about that. And it's like, obviously, you know, important, but how important is it? You know, that remains to be seen. But yeah, I feel like 10 years ago, NAC was everywhere.
Okay. Well, I feel like it's coming back with, you know, with some of the other podcasts out there. I think the Hubermans especially
kind re-exposing of
yeah, promoted it quite heavily. So, you know, having that precursor to glutathione to be able to synthesize more glutathione and in the cell, let the body do what it does with it. And I feel like with actual glutathione, it would be good to do that too, but I think it's more efficient, right, for the body to make its own glutathione versus taking it and absorbing it.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of more efficacy behind taking a precursor for the body to actually take it and use it how it will. So yeah, that's where I would put NAC at my number 5.
Awesome. So give me a number. What's number 4?
Okay. Number 4, creatine. So creatine, you know, we've talked.
So this was the conversation within my head is it an ergogenic aid or a supplement? And but let's go with creatine.
Yeah. I think we could call it a supplement because, you know, it exists in our diet and, you know, in like red meat, but taking,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I think that's maybe, you know, but, people might be eating cocoa beans, and caffeine is also.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or tea leaves. it's a Venn diagram here. All right, go on. Creatine. Let's kind of rehash. We have a great episode on creatine, by the way. It's literally just titled Creatine. And it's a worthy listen. It's one of our most listened episodes, actually. It's on the top 10 list. So feel free to dash out to that episode and listen to the whole 20-30 minutes of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the creatine is involved in, you know, neuroprotective properties and cognitive performance as well as athletic performance. And, you know, is even from, you know, from like short sprints and high intensity exercise to more aerobic exercise, the creatine is important in that role. And
yeah, in fact, it's a little bit more effective for more endurance type exercise versus high intensity, which most people don't think of.
Yeah. and even for like speeding up bone repair and even gut related issues too can help speed up those cellular processes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that
and neurodegenerative disorders.
Yeah.
So Alzheimer's. Staves off, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those reasons, that's why I would put it in at number 4. It's a heavy hitter though.
Yeah.
Like we're, you know, with all of these, like this is a list, but I feel like they could be interchanged at various different spots.
If you're, you know, you're strapped for cash, but you want to live a happy, healthy life and you don't want to break the bank on supplements and get overwhelmed, that's why we're kind of throwing this list out.
Yeah.
So,
you ready for number 3?
Let's do 3.
Number 3. All right. Number 3, we're going to go with omega-3 fish oil.
Nice.
So, you know, our brain, our nervous system, the nerves are all coated in a protective coating called myelin. So myelination, you know, again, off of the neurodegenerative disorders, we get like a demyelinating effect where the, like a wire, like the wires that you would use in your house that have that plastic coating on, it allows the electrons to flow through that wire faster and not be disrupted and not lose any of that current. And it's the same way with our nervous system. Our nervous system is literally a wire, wired connection, because it is electricity. And so the myelin, especially from the derived fatty acids from fish oil, go and help coat that area. It coats nerves, literally just insulates the the nerve and speeds up signal transmission, as well as, you know, cardiovascular health and keeping our tissue supple. One of the most interesting things that I found was that fish oil, omega-3 fish oils, are only found in cold water fish. So we're talking like salmon and cod, especially krill, krill oil.
Krill.
And the reason why they're found in cold water fish is because if they just had like a saturated fat, like a, like an animal based, like, you know, land animal, like cow or,
Know,
pork or whatever, that they would be literally frozen. They wouldn't be able to move because the oil stays a liquid, even at those cold temperatures.
That's so crazy.
It's pretty, pretty, pretty exciting. Like, keeps our body supple and mobile.
Yeah. If you think of these cords right here, that if you're watching, or if you're listening, you think of the normal electric cord, you know, coming from your washer dryer or your, you know, anything, your microwave, you know, those cords are wrapped in rubber, and that's so the cord doesn't short out. You know, within our bodies, our nerves are literally electrical cords. There's electricity that runs through them. And instead of having a rubber coating, we have a hard, dense, you know, oil coating called myelin. And then the backbone of those myelin is EPA and DHA, and which are the fish oils he's alluding to. So that's one of the main reasons why that's hugely important. Also because it basically repairs, you know, it's these nutrients, these fish oils are also some of the foundational pieces for cell walls. And so if you're repairing, you're just literally turning over cells and you're just trying to repair, you know, whether it be a blood cell or a muscle cell or a nerve cell, you do need the some of these rate limiting factors, which would be these fish oils. So,
And, you know, sourcing them too is important too. There's a couple brands that I feel are a little bit more on the up and up with purity and maintaining a standard of purity with that. I think we go with Nordic Naturals. That's a big one. You know, you don't want to have a fish oil that is mixed with other carriers. You know, it's just fish oil.
Yeah.
And I feel like a good way to test this, and maybe a reason why some people don't take it, is, you know, some people say that it gives you bloody noses, or, you know, it thins your blood. And my experience has been like, if I get like the Walmart brand or like the, like off brand fish oil, like I'll just like bleed out my nose. Like, just, it happens. It just,
that is crazy.
In Cairo school, my professor told me, he's like, you got to get a good brand. You got to get a,
this is something brand. You don't want to go cheap on.
Yeah. And it cleared up and I was able to take my fish oil.
So wild. Fine. The other thing that I tell patients is that, like, you know, definitely don't get gas station fish oils for sure. Like, and it shouldn't smell. Like, if you open the bottle, it shouldn't smell fishy. It should be like more of a natural, maybe have a slight tinge of a fish smell, but this should be more of a natural aura. And then also, you know, a lot of people say they burp up, you know, when they take it, they burp up, have a lot of, you know, indigestion, or they burp up the fish oil smell. And it's like, that shouldn't happen either. It shouldn't. Yeah. Be very soothing and comforting for the stomach, and you shouldn't get any of that. So if you're taking some, you know, obviously if you're taking liquid, that's different, but if it's in a capsule, you really shouldn't notice that at all. If you do, that's probably rancid, because what you're smelling is the rancid oil of that. Like, it's literally, the oil is rusting. It's got a poor carrier mechanism. So it's reacting with oxygen, and that's why you're smelling it.
Okay. Good to know.
Number two
is magnesium.
Magnesium,
and especially magnesium glycinate. You know, there's all sorts of different kinds of magnesiums out there, and different magnesiums have different inherent properties. But I think we found that magnesium glycinate is the best absorbed, and, you know, off the idea that glycine, that amino acid carrier, is also important in kind of disrupting the bondage of the forever chemicals
to our glyphosate.
Glyphosates to our connective tissues. So getting glycine into the body.
Yeah. So basically, Roundup or some different pesticides, they get into our body and they sort of weasel their way into our bodies by mimicking glycine. And because it uses a similar backbone to it, but it just puts like a phosphate edge to it, which kills a lot of living products or living things. So that's why it's a pesticide. But in our bodies, it doesn't quite kill us in the same way, like directly, but slowly over time, it can make us less efficient and harm us in the long run. But if you take glycine or like magnesium glycinate, which has a glycine backbone, that glycine fights for the same receptor as glyphosate might. So if you eat a crappy hamburger from McDonald's, you have a lot of glyphosate in that. It's just what it is. And then if you take magnesium glycine with it, that glycine will pop off and then compete with the glyphosate and kick it out. So it's helping you essentially.
Yeah. And I think there's, I think, what is it, 350 body reactions, cellular processes that are mediated by magnesium.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think
that's a pretty large amount.
Yeah, 300.
A lot of people say they'd sleep better with it.
100%. You
know, less muscle twitching, recovery, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's pretty phenomenal changes that can happen.
And magnesium is like the gatekeeper at the end terminus of the neuron where, you know, ions are getting exchanged. And so it kind of keeps calcium from escaping so that nerves aren't being depolarized when they shouldn't be. So that would make sense with the muscle twitching and, you know, calming the body and that calming effect. So yeah, having magnesium is huge, but not to go overboard with it, because you can kind of get sometimes if I take way too much, like I'll be just lethargic. Too lethargic.
You're very sensitive to these things. Sometimes I take supplements and I'm like, dude, I don't know if it's working. Like, and so I'll go through like fasting periods where I don't take any supplements and I'm like, I feel the same. Maybe I get a little bit more sniffly, like my immune system's like less reactive to that. But I don't know. Like I that's about the only thing I really notice. From a performance standpoint, I don't really notice much changes. That's crazy that you notice it like that.
I noticed when I first started taking magnesium, it felt like, you know, it felt like my blood vessels in a way just felt like, I felt like my heart wasn't having to like beat as hard, if it makes sense. Just like, yeah.
You're the canary in the
coal
mine.
It's kind of odd. So it's just a weird feeling I had experience wise. But number one, ready for number one?
Let's do it. I like number one.
Yeah. Number one, vitamin D. Vitamin D. So, you know, every single cell in the body has a vitamin D receptor somewhere on it.
Yeah.
So I feel like
that's a heck of a stat.
That makes it pretty important. I mean, we talk about the immune system and developing those T cells, maturation of T cells, and T cells are kind of the warriors that go in and kill some of those bacterias and
Terminator cells.
Yeah, essentially, yes. You know, and bone turnover and muscle repair, and even for like
immune system.
Yeah. Like weight loss. Like I think the new research shows that supplementation with vitamin D will take excess calories and like shuttle it more towards muscle growth than
I think vitamin D was I think its efficacy and its importance really came out a lot during COVID as well. You know, people who were really suffering from COVID or even died from it, sadly, would, you know, these are people that hasty generalization you can make is that they were vitamin D deficient. So that was kind of an interesting observation. There were a lot of studies showing that.
Yeah. And you know, you can get it from the sun, obviously, but you know, we live up in Northeast Ohio, and from pretty much about now until mid May.
And if, especially if you're darker skin, or if you're, you know, from Latin countries or, you know, African descent, things like that, you most definitely should be supplementing with it. because you're going to fight harder to get that kind of reaction through your melanin. And so it just makes sense for you to supplement with it.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be my top five.
Top five. So it's so funny because, like I said, we really honestly did not talk about this prior. We just kind of literally sat down for the podcast and I did not know those top five. So here we go.
All right.
So here's mine.
Let's do it.
So my fifth is actually kind of an interesting one. It's a sort of a funny one almost, but it's actually sodium.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
There's no system more tightly regulated in the body, but more than the balance of sodium in the body. So basically that determines osmolarity. And osmolarity is like density of blood and density of like lymph and how much water do we retain. So you could be drinking water all day long, but if you don't marriage it with electrolytes, that's hyponatremia, which is water toxicity. The way that you make water effective in the body is by having sodium. And that's why it's the most tightly regulated system in the body, because obviously the balance of water in the body is utterly critical for survival. So to me, this is a top five. It wasn't higher on the list because it's so readily available that it's like, you know, most people aren't walking around with a sodium deficiency. But if you are a high performer, you know, like Jared and I, we run marathons often, we train hard, we work hard. If you're in that scenario, then obviously you should basically have sodium around consistently in the diet. The product we typically endorse is Element, L-M-N-T. One of the benefits of that product is it's set up as the exact osmolarity of sodium, magnesium, and potassium in your blood, so it absorbs quick. And so that kind of goes into the magnesium take as well. Very important. And one of the things that's interesting about sodium is that if your sodium level is low in the body chronically, you know, obviously water balance in the body is very important, but so is ionic charge within the blood or pH within the blood. And what will happen here is if you go back to high school chemistry, Na2 plus is sodium in its ionic form in the body. So if it's low, what you'll do is you'll leach calcium Ca2 plus and magnesium Mg2 plus out from typically bone sourcing. And a lot of times that's ultimately why you get cramping if you have low sodium, because the calcium is not where it should be, and that creates muscle contractions. So if we know, like, rigor mortis is when your cells, when you die, your cells rupture, leaking things, leaking calcium, and then that's what makes the muscle contract. So anyways, where calcium is not where it should be, that's what causes abnormal muscle contractions. So long story short, if you're worried about aging from a bone standpoint, like osteopenia, osteoporosis, magnesium is a great thing to have in your, or sodium is a great thing to have readily in your diet. A lot of people obviously will advocate calcium in that scenario, which is also important and gets an honorable mention on my list. But but it's not as important as sodium. It's really vital that you get that in the system. And a lot of people are obviously worried about hypertension with it or high blood pressure. And what's interesting is all those old research that showed that sodium gives high blood pressure. A lot of those studies basically would give people a bolus of salt or sodium, and then quickly measure their blood pressure. And then obviously it will be high because it takes, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, a half hour to adapt to these, to this bolus to get it out of the system. So if you remeasure that blood pressure an hour later, it'll go back to normal. So, you know, it might be a transient hypertensive situation if you take like an Element or a high sodium product. But, you know, for the most part, your body is going to quickly get rid of it because it can't retain that much water. So that's, you know, a very important system.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, I'd add the sodium glucose importer. Having sodium with, you know, your carbohydrate sources to help pull it into the cell so that it can be, you know, so that the carbohydrates can be used for energy. So,
all right. That's literally a take I've never even thought about.
Yeah.
All right, you want number four?
I do want number four.
It happens to be the same as your number four. It's creatine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I was talking about, like, man, like, is it ergogenic aid? Or are we doing straight, like, supplements? Or how are we doing this? But you know, I've come to the realization that I absolutely hate creatine from a ingesting standpoint, the powder form. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to go to pill or chews because okay. I get so sick whenever I take it. I don't know why, but I cannot stand taking creatine. So if it's in a pill form, then it makes it seem more like a supplement.
Supplemental.
So for all the things we talked about earlier, I mean, this is one ergogenic aid that has been studied right up there in terms of the amount that has been studied with caffeine. You know, it's been around for decades. Its side effects is almost nil. Please just take it. It's awesome. You know, it's kind of on a high right now in terms of what people are supporting it and ride that wave because it's really effective. It's really important. So go out of your way to utilize creatine in your diet.
Yeah,
for sure. Couldn't state it enough. Go back and listen to our episode on that. Start with your 5 grams. You know, if you want some of the dementia, Alzheimer's, staving that off, neurodegenerative stuff, like if you're a little bit older and trying to stave that off, you know, you're going to need to get up to 15 to 20 grams per day. If you're trying to recover from a bone injury or, you know, maybe you got a tendon tear and you're trying to speed up the healing of the tear, you're going to want to be up to 10 to 15 grams. You can load it heading into racing. So you can creatine load in the same way that you would carb load. So there you would kind of take your 20 grams per day kind of heading into the race or the event. So can't state enough about creatine.
Yeah.
Number three,
let's do it.
Vitamin C.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Being a chiropractor, deal with soft tissue injuries all day long. One of the cofactors in repairing collagen is vitamin C. So if you're chronically low on vitamin C, you will struggle to repair collagen, which is the backbone of all your soft tissue. So very important from a management of tendons, muscle standpoint, infrastructure of bone, you know, sort of the wet portion of bone is collagen. So very important from that standpoint. And obviously the immune system, you know, because I work with patients all day long. I'm around microbes all day long. Especially during COVID, it was a scary time. So I consistently took huge amounts of vitamin C and kept me healthy. And, you know, its reaction on the immune system is obviously very important. If somebody's chronically sick with something really terrible like cancer or something like that, you can do extremely high doses of vitamin C with infusions. That has been shown to be very effective for a lot of strategies there. Obviously, don't do that unless you consult a doctor first. But, you know, it's just there are a lot of physicians out there that think that high dose vitamin C is very good for the body. But, you know, if you take it in pill form through the GI tract, obviously you don't want to take too high a doses, maybe just a gram or two a day, because that'll kind of, you know, make the bathroom stops a little bit more often than you'd like. But that's why a lot of times infusions can be more effective because it doesn't run through the GI tract and you can kind of get real, you know, up to like 100 times more vitamin C into the system and then kill cancer cells and that kind of stuff, chronic illnesses. So it's been shown to do some pretty amazing things in the body and it's just a phenomenal cofactor in a lot of different things.
Yeah, I would also add that, you know, if you're looking for vitamin C, again, you know, there's better forms and then there's cheaper forms that are on the market. Like if you see ascorbic acid, one of our other episodes, we talked about how the body prefers to have the reduced form of certain ions. Like I think it was the iron episode. The reduced form. So ascorbic acid is not the reduced form. So if you get ascorbate with like a antioxidant co-carrier, rose hips, I believe is the big one or arugula. Those are more effective at the body absorbing than just straight ascorbic acid. Not to say that you wouldn't get some benefit, but having that reduced form is going to give you the better bang for the buck. So
yeah, good insight there. I love that. All right. What does that put me in number two? Fish oils.
Yep.
So we knew, you know, there was going to definitely be some crossovers here. You know, this is one supplement that you can get pretty high dose on. Rhonda Patrick, who I trust a lot of her research in terms of sifting through a lot of the studies. There's been a lot of Asian studies on this molecule. You know, this is one of the ones that she's like, yeah, high dose fish oils is just phenomenal for the body. There's a book called The Longevity Nutrient out that kind of talks about C15 as a kind of a critical nutrient. You can get some smaller forms or some smaller segments of a normal fish oil pill with some C15. But basically, like we talked about earlier, EPA, DHA are your two critical ones. And if you kind of read a fish oil bottle, you know, it's going to be basically about a gram of each on a serving. So you'll get about a typical serving of fish oil will be 2 grams. And then most of them will have kind of a gram of each of those. Those are the two most important ones. And kind of like we talked about earlier, it's just great for brain health, great for inflammation. So really, really good in the inflammation cascade. So if you're chronically inflamed and you're just like, you know, just you easily get sick or you easily get injured or tweaked or something like that, then your inflammatory levels are probably pretty high. So kind of ramping up your fish oils is going to be really, really good. And, you know, it's protective for the brain as well, because, you know, obviously the brain is mostly fat because it's mostly nerves. And the more you can turn over and repair those nerves, the better. They can heal and you know, recover from, you know, injuries, concussions. You know, if you know anybody with needing a concussion management, then it's really, really important there. So, yeah, can't speak enough about fish oils.
Yeah. And I think if, you know, between the EPA and DHA ratio, you want to have more, as many DHA per serving as possible. Is that, have you heard something similar to that? I think DHA is used a little bit more readily than EPA.
Okay.
Yeah. I think with like Nordic Naturals, I think it's about a 50-50.
Yeah, it's about a 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking, shopping around, it's like, you know, try to find one that has a substantial amount of DHA in relative to the EPA. Fun fact, do you know that, do you know what those stand for, DHA and EPA?
Yeah, dexahydroxycoic acid or something. And
docosahexaenoic and icosapentaenoic.
yeah, so, I mean, you go through like chemistry class and organic chemistry classes, and it's not fun having to remember all those. What do you think my number one is, if you had to guess?
Oh man, is it vitamin D?
It's got to be vitamin D.
Yeah.
So like almost every single genome in the body is somewhat related to vitamin D, and just like you said, you know, every single cell has a receptor for it. I mean, it's man. It's a vital one. I mean, we should probably do an episode on vitamin D.
Yeah. Get into the nitty gritty.
I mean, I feel like, so for me, when I was growing up, I had, you know, when I was running at an elite level for 3 years in a row at the three most critical points in the season, because the Olympic trials in 2012 was in the winter. So the leading up to that, all the major US championships were in the winter to prepare the athletes for that, because the races were all in Houston. And for every single one of those, I had bronchitis.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
And it's like, it was so frustrating, but I never took vitamin D until about 5 years ago. And I was chronically low. I had like wicked low vitamin D. And even still, I struggle to absorb it. So a lot of people struggle to absorb it orally. So if that's the case, if you're just not really responding well with taking it, you might seek out a physician to do vitamin D injections. Because that's another sourcing for it that you can do. It's obviously harder to find somebody to do that, but you know, maybe worth it if you're struggling in that sense. So, but then the other thing too is I look back and I have had 12 fractures in my life. So between broken bones with like baseball and football and wrestling and all through middle school and high school, and my bones just fractured so easily. And it's like I look back and it's like, well, that obviously was related to my vitamin D chronic deficiency. So, you know, some people just are a little bit more of a canary in the coal mine with it. And some people are just dirty boned and don't have really much of an issue. And some people, like my wife, she's never had a fracture. She's done crazy stuff physically, like, you know, running marathons off no training and all that. And she's never fractured a bone. But like I have had 12 fractures.
Jeez.
So
holy cow. Yeah.
And then just since you've known me, like think of how many injuries I've had. Like yeah. I injured very easily. So but I do take a decent amount. I take about 15,000 IU of vitamin D a day.
Okay.
You know, I might take anywhere from 10 to 15,000 IU of vitamin D a day. So I take a decent amount. Like, and if you're low, man, like get up there, get up in the 50K IU a day, like get up there, because getting this molecule high in the body is very, very important.
Loading strategy. Yeah. Yeah. Going on like a 7 day, 50 per, you know, yeah. 50 IU.
Yeah.
50,000 IU.
Yeah. 50,000. Yeah. Doctors started to really prescribe this more often. Like they'll give you like, you know, over the pharmaceutical grade, like vitamin D, if you are low chronically, because it is just absolutely critical for health.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. For so sure. Let's do a real quick, before we have to head out here, let's do a real quick, I'm going to give you some of my honorable mentions.
Oh, all right.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot. So I'll go mine first.
That's good.
So, at the top of the list is magnesium, honorable mention. Your full kit of B vitamins is up there as well. Iron, and then glutathione, which kind of goes in with your NAC conversation. And so those are my four honorable mentions.
All right. Yeah, I would have a few of those on the list too. I would say definitely iron would be probably my number six. I would put your B vitamins at number seven. And
we say it like general, like B, because
B's.
They're just kind of easy to get and they all have different reactions. And, you know, vegans might need a little bit more B12, et cetera, kind of thing. So, you know, but in general, the B vitamins are critical for energy and things like that. And they tend to be very easy to absorb. So,
yeah. Vitamin C would be what is it, number eight. And nine, I don't have one right now.
Yeah. Well, I think this was a fun episode, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was good.
I like that we kind of came in off the cuff a little bit and had some similar ideas, but you know, just kind of rehashing. Jared's number five was NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Yes. Number four was creatine. Three was fish oils. Two was magnesium glycinate specifically, and one was vitamin D. And my number five was sodium. Four was also creatine. Three was vitamin C. Two was fish oils. And one was vitamin D. So, you know, heed some of the advice here and implement some of these strategies we talked about and give us some feedback. And thanks for listening to another episode of the Mind Body Marathon.
Thank you. Cool.
Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback, but again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries. So again, Running Rehab.